Okay, so what you get tonight, instead of just an overview, you're getting a complete commentary on the book of Revelation in your focus notes. So you're getting a lot of detail that we're not going to go over tonight, okay? So you're going to get, and it really blessed me, and most of it came from Footsteps of the Messiah by Dr. Arnold Frutenbaum. And so I had to rearrange the order and do some editing and things of that nature. But pretty much it's a lot of his work. And I'm not giving you any Chuck Missler's focus tonight, because that would have been 80 pages. And so you notice that the word Revelation is in yellow highlight, okay? So we're only going to be going over in class where you see a yellow highlight. So the first one you see is there on page 1. The next one that you'll see is on page 3. Everybody see that? See the word "the" yellow highlighted? And so most of the material here is focusing, and it's additional commentary and in-depth analysis, because this is an overview class predominantly, although we're not going over more than one book tonight. We're only doing Revelation 4 through 20. So let's get started. So hopefully we'll follow along and I won't lose my voice. So most of the notes and commentaries from Dr. Arnold Frutenbaum, some from G. Campbell Morgan. Will not read the verses. So I've included the verses as well, which I've not done at other times. And they're the verses as from Dr. Arnold. They're his. We're not going to read the verses, okay? So so you're going to need to commit to go back over all of these notes. It will bless you immensely, and it as it has me. Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It falls into three sections. Remember, we're in chapters 4 through 22. We did the first three chapters last week, along with, in conjunction with Matthew 13, and the parables of the mystery kingdom. It falls into three sections. The first deals with millennial preparation and is by far the largest section, chapters 4 through 18. The second, in very brief sentences, describes the millennium in 19 through 20, verse 6. The third has to do with the millennial issues in 27, verse 7 through 22, 5. The heavenly order, chapters 4 and 5. And by the way, I won't be able to take questions. We'll have to take questions afterwards, okay? So reserve your comments and your questions till afterwards. I'm sorry, but we just got too much to cover. So the heavenly order, chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 4 deals with the throne of God. It's on war footing, if you will, if I could use that phrase. Chapter 5 speaks of the Lamb and the seven-sealed scroll. Events in heaven prior to the tribulation, chapters 4 and 5. Introduction, the final division of the book opens with the phrase, after these things. After the things of the sevenfold church in chapters 2 and 3, and after the vision of Christ in chapter 1. Chapters 4 and 5 of the Revelation record, events transpiring in heaven just before the tribulation. With these chapters, the Revelation begins the third and major section of the book. The section is in chapters 4 through 22. We have the throne of God in Revelation 4, 1 through 11. Verse 1 contains an introduction to these two chapters. This verse merely contains an invitation for John to come to heaven in vision, in order that God can show him things which must come to pass hereafter. John has already described the things which he saw, the glorified Son of Man, and the things which are the seven churches, the sevenfold churches. Now the time has come for John to be shown what must follow the period of the seven churches. The phrase, after these things, obviously refers back to chapter 1:19. It is the key. It is a built-in outline in for the whole book of Revelation. That's 1:19. You want to key in on that, where the outline of the Revelation was first given. The invitation to John is not a symbol of the rapture, for as we shall be shown shortly, the church is viewed as already being in heaven. This is merely a personal invitation to John to come to where he can receive the rest of the prophecy involved in the Revelation. Throughout the book, two key phrases will be found. One is after these things. This is important for you to understand. The other is simply after this. The first phrase is chronological, after these things. What is described after this phrase follows chronologically the events found in the previous passage. The connecting link then is a chronological one. It introduces events that will chronologically follow these events described in the immediate previous context. The second phrase only refers to the next thing John saw and does not necessarily imply chronology. Because when we get to chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, you need to understand that they're not necessarily in chronological order. The next vision John sees may chronologically precede or follow the previous context, or he may be describing something contemporary with it. In verse 1, with the phrase after these things, John introduces events which will chronologically follow the previous context, namely the seven churches. The events of Revelation 4 and 5 then chronologically follow the events of the seven churches, using our distinction there of the phrase after these things. In 4, 2 through 3, John describes the throne and the throne sitter. That John was not physically taken into heaven, but only saw it in a vision, is clear from the statement. I was in the Spirit. The person sitting on the throne is God the Father. 4:4 describes the throne attendants, those who are attending the throne. 24 elders are redeemed and represent the church. So you have focus then. It's going to give you a lot more detail on everything that we just talked about. And then you turn to page 3, and we pick up our next highlight, which is the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is found in verse 5 of chapter 4. The seven spirits of God are representative of seven attributes of the Holy Spirit described in Isaiah 11:2. Okay, in 4, 6 through 8, describe the four living creatures. The fact that these creatures are described as having six wings and they cry the triad, holy, 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 would make them the same as the seraphim in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And you have the verse there for that. In 4, 9 through 11, describes a continuous worship before the throne. Following the cry of the triad, the 24 elders cast their crowns down before the throne. This need not be taken as a once-for-all action, whereby the saints who have received their crowns give them up permanently to Messiah. The cry, of course, is viewed as being continuous. The cry of the triad comes repeatedly, holy, 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 one after the other, and so does the chorus. Verse 8 states that the crying of the triad is continuous, and therefore so is the casting of the crowns. So there is not a question of the church saints giving up crowns forever, but a continuous removal of the crowns from their heads in worship of God the Father. The Lamb and the seven-sealed scroll in Revelation 5, 1 through 14. Chapter 5 describes the Lamb and the seven-sealed scroll. It also serves as a prelude to the seven-seal judgments. All three series of judgments, seals, trumpets, and bowls, will be preceded by a prelude in heaven, and the prelude to the seal judgments is found in chapter 5. Okay, that will be repeated for the trumpets and the bowls. In 5:1, the seven-sealed scroll is introduced. It is a scroll, the real meaning of the Greek word translated book, that is written upon both sides and is sealed with seven seals. In 5, 2 through 4, describe the problem of the scroll. The problem of the seven-sealed scroll, no one was found worthy to open it. This difficulty, however, is solved in verses 5 through 7. The second person of the Trinity is the one who is worthy to open the seven-sealed scroll. And remember, I'm not going to read the verses in red for you. You'll have all of the verses of Revelation here, as well as a lot of commentary. So the focus there will take you deeper into what it is we just went through. And then you go to page 5, And you look for your next yellow highlight. In 5, 8 through 14 concludes with the description of the worship of the Lamb. Thus, chapters 4 and 5 describe events in heaven preceding the tribulation. With the opening of the seven seals, the tribulation judgments begin. It is now time to turn to study of the great tribulation. Summary, the events of the tribulation. I'll give you summaries every now and then just to help you keep you organized in your thoughts. Revelation 6 through 18 deals with the great tribulation period. Chapter 6 through 9 and 17 are concerned with the events of the first half. Notice we include 17 with chapters 6 through 9. That's interesting. Chapters 10 through 14 with the events of the middle of the tribulation. Chapters 15 and 16 and 18 with the events of the second half of the tribulation. The midpoint being, of course, the abomination that makes desolate. Then your focus. So you're going to have quite a bit. You get more information, more commentary there. And in page 6, we pick it up. The events immediately following the end of the church dispensation are symbolically set forth. The first seal is opened, and one representing false authority is seen, going forth, conquering and to conquer. The first seal, Revelation 6, 1 through 2, that Jesus will open. With the horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation introduces a man wearing a crown and conquering and to conquer. This figure on the white horse will play a major role in the tribulation period. That the figure is not Messiah is indicated by the fact that the crown here is a Stephanus crown, the crown of an overcomer or victor. It is not the diadem crown, the crown of sovereignty and royalty, which Jesus is. The type of crown Messiah will wear in chapter 19. He will wear the diadem crown. This figure who enters the tribulation conquering and to conquer is the Antichrist. So then you have a focus there on the Antichrist. The second seal is opened, and carnage and bloodshed follow as the outcome of military despotism. The second seal, Revelation 6, 3 through 4. With the second horseman of the apocalypse, peace is removed from the earth. Then you have focus there a little more on the second seal. The third seal on page 7, if you're there. Everybody there? Okay. The third seal is open at the yellow highlight, and famine follows in the wake of commercial despotism. The third seal is in Revelation 6, 5 through 6. The third horseman of the apocalypse brings a worldwide famine, which often comes as a consequence of war. Then you have more focus there, more detail. The fourth seal is open, and death in its most terrible forms reign. The fourth seal is in Revelation 6, 7 through 8. The fourth horseman of the apocalypse is the deadliest of all. For in this judgment, one-fourth of the world's population is destroyed. The population is destroyed by four means. The sword, which may mean either passive slaughter or another war. Famine, meaning death by starvation. Pestilence, meaning death by disease. And death by wild animals. Once food becomes scarce, wild animals, which generally leave man alone, will begin to attack man for food. Then you have a short focus there on the summary of the four. The fifth seal, Revelation 6, 19 through 11, and then you turn your page to page 8. The fifth seal deals with the martyrs of the first half of the tribulation. Thus, early in the tribulation, there is the persecution of believers in Messiah. And then you have focus again that gives you a little more details about that. The sixth seal, Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The opening of the sixth seal is immediately followed by premonitions of the coming one. At the opening of the sixth, signs are given of the established order of true government, notwithstanding the apparent victory of the false government. Each series of judgments ends with convulsions of nature. The sixth seal concludes the first series of judgments with such natural convulsions. Then your fortune, he's going to focus. He will talk more about these convulsions and what was going on in the sixth seal. The seventh chapter divides itself into two sections. 7:1-8, and 7:9-17. The means of the worldwide revival, Revelation 7:1-8. This passage describes the third of the five events happening throughout the first half of the tribulation. The 144,000 Jews and the worldwide revival. So you turn again to page 9, and we continue after you get the list of all the tribes and those who are sealed. Revelation 7 deals with the second major purpose of the great tribulation, that of the worldwide revival. Restraining angels are now seen holding in check the forces of judgment, while the sealing of an elect number of the servants of God takes place. From this sealing, the seer, John, turns to contemplate a great vision in heaven of a vast multitude lifting the song of salvation. In response to the inquiry of John, the angel declares that these have come out of the great tribulation. This ministry of 144,000 is something that occurs throughout the entire first half and not merely after the sixth seal judgment. In fact, it is going on during the seal judgments, and it is the means by which the fifth seal saints come to the Messiah. The passage begins with "after this," which is not chronological, but merely the next vision John sees. Then you have your focus, quite a bit of focus on this whole subject of the 144,000 and why these 12 tribes were chosen. So now we're on page 10. Okay, moving right along. This ministry of the 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel fulfills the prophecy of Matthew 24:14. And then we have the results of their preaching in Revelation 7:9-17. In verses 9-10, John sees a multitude of Gentiles from every nationality standing before the throne of God. The expression "after these things" means that the salvation of these myriads of Gentiles follows chronologically the 144,000 Jews. And there is a cause. Now we're on page 11. Everybody there? And there is a cause and effect relationship. After describing the worship of the one on the throne, verses 11-12, the text proceeds to identify who these Gentiles are that are found around the throne in verses 13-14. These Gentiles are identified as those who came out of the great tribulation. And you're going to have more on this in your focus. And then we move to the seventh seal is open in 8:1. So there are seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, okay? And the seventh one will open the door for the next set of judgments. The seventh seal is opened in 8:1. Heaven is sensible of the stupendous importance of this seal, and its songs are hushed and prayer is silent for half an hour. And the trumpet judgments in 8:6-9:21, and then 11:15-19. The seven archangels receive trumpets and prepare themselves to sound. How long a period elapses between the sounding of the trumpets, we cannot tell. The rapid grouping of the first four would seem to suggest their quick suggestion. The trumpet judgments, the prelude to all of this in Revelation 8:1-6. In verses 1-2, the seventh seal is open, and the seventh seal contains a second series of judgments called the trumpet judgments. Verses 3-5 describe events in heaven and earth just preceding the trumpet judgments. The act of adding incense to the prayers of the saints indicates that the trumpet judgments will answer, page 12, the prayers of the saints, prayers already voiced in the fifth seal judgment. As a warning to the earth that the trumpet judgments are about to start, it is made to tremble with convulsions of nature. Then, in verse 6, the seven angels prepare to sound the seven trumpets. So then I'm going to give you in focus the first, second, third, fourth trumpets. You can read on your own and with commentary. And then we are on page 13, the prelude to the woe judgments. These are a part of the trumpet judgments, Revelation 8:13. with the first four trumpets that are in your focus having sounded, this verse introduces the final three. Because the final three trumpet judgments are especially severe for mankind on the earth, they are called woe judgments. As bad as the first four judgments were, the latter three will be far more severe. Then you have your focus on the fifth trumpet, and a lot of detail and a lot of commentary there about the demons and the locusts and that. And then page 14. Although mankind may see relief, some relief, it will be short-lived, as verse 12 makes clear. The sixth trumpet, the second woe judgment, Revelation 9, 13 through 21, the sounding of the sixth trumpet introduces a period in which an army of evil spirits that up to now were held hostage in bondage are loosed. In page 15, again, we're not reading the verses. You read those on your own. With the sounding of the sixth trumpet, four fallen angels bound at the Euphrates River are released, for they are the leaders of the second demonic invasion, verses 13 through 14. While the first demonic invasion was led by one fallen angel, this one is led by four. While the first demonic invasion was able to torment, but not to kill, this one is commissioned to kill one-third of the earth's population, verse 15. So the second woe is indeed worse than the first. Then you have your focus there, a lot more commentary and details about this, including the sixth trumpet judgment concludes at the time of the middle of the tribulation. And then we have the little book. The little book in Revelation 10, 1 through 11. And there are your verses for that. The temporary suspension of the judgments from heaven begins after the sixth trumpet judgment with the story of the little book. John saw a strong angel carrying a little book or a scroll in verses 1 through 2. This is the second scroll mentioned in Revelation. The first was the seven-sealed scroll or book that contained the seven seal and the seven trumpet judgments, which describe the events of the first half of the tribulation. Now a second scroll comes into the picture, the content of which will shortly be revealed. The strong angel cried with a great shout, after which the seven thunders uttered something that John is forbidden to reveal in verses 3 through 4. So then you're going to get a lot more on that little book in your focus. It will pay to read that. Now we're on page 18. Who'd have thunk it? John measuring the temple in Revelation 11 through 2. First, we had the scroll, and these are between the two halves of the tribulation, measuring the scroll, measuring the temple. This passage also deals with the takeover of the temple as well as the city of Jerusalem, at least the old city, and connects it with the times of the Gentiles. This will be the final Gentile control of Jerusalem, and it will last 42 months or 3.5 years. It will be this Gentile takeover of the city and the temple that will cause a cessation of the sacrifices. Although Gentile domination over the city of Jerusalem will last 3.5 years, the abomination of desolation will continue an extra month after the 3.5 years, 1290 instead of 1260 days. Your focus, a lot more there on what we just talked about, a lot more detail about the Antichrist and etc. Some stuff you're going to find really interesting. So we're on page 19. Two witnesses deliver their testimony for 3.5 years. The two witnesses, Revelation 11, 3 through 6. The fourth event transpiring throughout the first half of the tribulation is the ministry of the two witnesses, and you have verses there about them. In verse 3, the timing of their ministry is given as 1260 days, which is the equivalent of 3.5 years. These 3.5 years cover the first half of the tribulation period. Their identity is given in verse 4. In verses 5 through 6, the character of their ministry and their authority is described. So that's your overview. Now to go into more in depth, you need to read the focus area that is finishes towards the bottom of page 20. Then you have the death of the two witnesses, Revelation 11, 7 through 13. Now we turn to page 21. In order to gain further religious allegiance of the world masses, everybody there, 21? The Antichrist will also move against the two witnesses who, because of their supernatural abilities, caused so much havoc for the inhabitants of the earth during the first half of the tribulation. The Antichrist will war against the two witnesses and will succeed in killing them in verse 7. They will lie where they die in the streets of Jerusalem for all to see, verses 8 through 9. The inhabitants of the earth will rejoice over the death of the two witnesses because of the plagues they suffered via the two witnesses in verse 10. After 3.5 days, the two witnesses will be resurrected and taken to heaven in the sight of everyone, verses 11 through 12. Jerusalem, where the murder will take place and where the bodies will be displayed, will receive sudden judgment in verse 13. Your focus then will go into more depth about this. Then we're on page 22 at the top. The seventh trumpet, the third woe judgment, Revelation 11, 14 through 19. Closing the mid-tribulational events and announcing the bold judgments of the second half of the tribulation is the seventh trumpet, which is also the third woe judgment in verse 14. When the seventh trumpet is blown, an announcement is made with that trumpet. Messiah will inherit the kingdom of the world, verse 15. It should be noted that the world kingdom is singular, so Messiah will gain the one world kingdom of the Antichrist. A further announcement is made that the time of the final judgment has also come in order to destroy the ones who are destroying the earth and to avenge the ones who are killing the prophets and the saints, verses 16 through 18. These announcements are also declaring the results of the bowl judgment, the final series of judgments. Your focus will give you more information on this seventh trumpet judgment. Then we have the persecution of the Jews. A second passage describing the flight of the Jews out of Israel is in Revelation 12, 1 through 6. This passage begins with a historical review and summary in verses 1 through 5. These verses summarize the whole life of Messiah from just before his birth to the ascension. John saw two signs in the heavens. In the first sign, verses 1 through 2, Israel is pictured as a woman, a motif taken from the Old Testament concept of Israel as the wife of Jehovah. The sun, moon, and 12 stars are all common Old Testament figures relating to Israel. Then John describes the second sign. The great red dragon is Satan in all his fierceness in verse 3. In verse 4, the two signs come together. Satan brought his entire demonic host out of his third abode. Verse 5 points out the failure of Satan's attempt to destroy the child. Then we give you a lot on this particular section in your focus that runs through 24 down to the middle of the page. Then we have Satan cast down to the earth. These are all events of the middle tribulation in Revelation 12, 7 through 12. At this point of time, Satan is cast down out of his third abode in the atmospheric heavens to his fourth abode, the earth. The next section of the chapter, verses 7 through 12, gives the reason or cause of Israel's flight. Satan is cast out of his third abode into his fourth abode, verses 7 through 9, and is confined to the earth for the next 3.5 years. There are two results of this angelic war. First, there's rejoicing in heaven because the accuser of the brethren is cast down in verses 10 through 12a, and his access to heaven is removed forever. But second, there is woe for the earth, for Satan is now full of wrath and anger, knowing his time is short, verses 12b, for he now knows it is only 3.5 years before the second coming, Verses 7 through 12 then are somewhat parenthetical, providing the reason for Israel's flight in verse 6. Then your focus. You have more detail on that, about Satan being cast from heaven. The next section found is 12, 13 through 17. Verse 13 states that once Satan is cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman Israel. Verse 14, Israel flees into the wilderness, where she's nourished for a time and times and half time, which is the same as the 3.5 years of verse 6. In verse 15, the persecution is described in terms of the waters of a river causing a flood, so that Israel might be drowned or destroyed by the flood. But this invasion will fail in verse 16 in its attempt to destroy the Jews who are fleeing to the wilderness. For Israel will succeed in fleeing into the wilderness after being pursued by the invading army. The passage closes, verse 17, describing the wrath of Satan. Because of his initial failure to destroy the Jews, divine intervention will destroy the pursuing army. Then you have a lot of focus on this particular subject matter, the rest of the page to the top of page 27. Revelation 13 describes the two beings whom Satan will use in his program of Jewish destruction. We have the Antichrist and the false prophet. It is important to see the connection between Revelation 12 and 13. In Revelation 12, John describes Satan's program and desire to destroy all the Jews once and for all. Chapter 13 then shows the means by which Satan will hope to carry out this program, the two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. The resurrection of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 1 through 3. As the rest of Revelation 12 makes clear, Satan then sets out on a course to destroy the Jews. The means by which he will attempt to accomplish this will be the two beasts of Revelation 13. But he will begin on this course by bringing the Antichrist back to life. Focus. There's a lot in the focus on this, on the Antichrist and his resurrection. And then we pick up on page 28, the worship of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 3 through 10. The seventh head is the Antichrist stage, and this is the head that is smitten unto death. But the death stroke was healed by means of resurrection in verse 3. Because he will give his authority to the Antichrist, men will begin worshiping Satan. Thus, Satan will become a counterfeit God the Father. As the Father gave his authority to the true Son, Satan will give his authority to the counterfeit Son. Just as the Father is worshipped through the true Son, Satan is to be worshipped through the counterfeit Son in verse 4. In verses 5 through 7a, the activities of this pseudo-God are related. He will speak great things and blasphemies in 5a, declaring himself to be God, and call men to begin worshiping him. He will give authority. He will be given authority to continue for 42 months in verse 5b, which is equivalent to 3.5 years, and so in control is and so his control is to extend throughout the second half of the tribulation. He will blaspheme against all that is in heaven, both God and all those who are there in verse 6. He will war against the saints and overcome them in 7a, as is evident from his murder of the two witnesses, and he will continue to persecute all believers in Messiah. In light of all this, a warning is given in verses 9 through 10. The very way that men will treat the saints, God will treat them. Then your focus gives you a lot more about this and the worship of Satan and the Antichrist. Page 29. Everybody there? The second aspect of the abomination of desolation is in Revelation 13, 11 through 15. The false prophet, Revelation 13, 11 through 15. In the second stage of the abomination of desolation, the false prophet will be given authority to perform many signs and wonders in verse 13, deceiving mankind in order to cause them to worship the Antichrist in verse 12. His activities as the counterfeit Holy Spirit are now spelled out in verses 12 through 15. As the Holy Spirit exercises equal authority with the true Son, the false prophet will exercise equal authority with the counterfeit Son in 12a. Just as the Holy Spirit calls all men to worship the resurrected Son, the false prophet will call all men to worship the resurrected counterfeit Son whose death stroke was healed. In order to fully carry out the deception, the false prophet will have the power of the counterfeit spiritual gifts of miracles and will perform signs for the purpose of deception. And you get a lot more in the focus from other scriptures as well as he'll bring to bear. Then we come to verse chapter, page 30. We come to 666, the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, 16 through 18. To counterfeit the seal of God on the foreheads of the saints, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the false prophet will introduce his own counterfeit mark or seal. He does not invent anything. He copies and perverts. The counterfeit seal is the famous mark of the beast. The placing of the mark will be on the forehead or on the right hand, verse 16. The mark will serve as a passport for business, but will not be the means of paying for that business. That is separate. So you need to read about that in the focus. It's kind of interesting. It will be given to all who will subject themselves to the authority of the Antichrist and accept him as God. So your focus is going to talk a lot about that. And you got page 31. Goes into the also in the abomination of desolation. Get a lot of scripture from Daniel and Matthew. A lot of commentary here on that subject matter. Then we have in 32, mid-tribulational announcements. Revelation 14 serves as a connecting link between the description of the mid-tribulational events of Revelation 10 through 13, which we've gone through, and the events of the second half of the tribulation, which will be in chapters 15 through 16. Most of what was found in Revelation 11 through 13 dealt with the activities of the counterfeit Trinity in their attempt to usurp the authority of God and to destroy those who persist in worshiping him alone. In Revelation 14, there are seven proclamations given from the divine side aimed at doing three things. Page 33. First, to predict the failure of the program of the counterfeit Trinity. Second, to announce the results of the approaching last seven judgments known as the bowl judgments. Third, to give words of assurance, encouragement, and comfort to the saints living in the second half of the tribulation. Then you have details on chapter 14 and commentary and your focus on page 33 through page 34 through most of 35. Okay. In 35 at the bottom, everybody there? Okay, you following along? Pretty good? Okay. The events of the second half of the tribulation. Obviously, the events beginning in the middle of the tribulation continue into the second half, for it will take some time to accomplish all of the events. Thus, the second half will largely be comprised of events already described. But the latter part of the second half will contain the bowl judgments recorded in Revelation 15 through 16. The prelude, Revelation 15, 1 through 16, 1. Verse 1, now we're on page 36. Verse 1 picks up from where 11:19 left off and introduces the prelude with the seven angels who have the seven bowls. These are also the last seven judgments. We had seals, trumpets, and now bowls. And they contain and bring to completion the wrath of God. Again, the results spelled out under the seventh trumpet come after the seven bowls of judgments are complete. Then in verses 2 through 4, there is a view of the martyred saints of the second half of the tribulation. These come off victorious from the pressures to worship the beast and to take the mark of the beast. While they suffered martyrdom, they conquered in the spiritual warfare in verse 2. They are viewed as singing two songs. These are the martyrs of the second half. the Song of Moses, verse 3a, which refers either to the song in Exodus 15 or the one in Deuteronomy 32. In both cases, it is a song of deliverance. The second is the Song of the Lamb, and the content of which is recorded in these verses. Then in verses 5 through 8, the seven bowls are given to the seven angels, commissioned to carry out the final series of judgments. As a result of the giving, the temple in heaven is filled with the Shekinah glory, causing its closure until all the bowl judgments have been poured out. As in 11:19, the focus of the prelude is on the temple in heaven. Finally, in 16:1, the angels are commanded to pour out the seven bowl judgments of the wrath of God. The command comes by voice out of the temple of God, which has just been filled with the Shekinah of glory. Now, your focus is going to take you through all of those bowl judgments. The rest of page 36, the rest of page 37. How about page 38? How about all of page 39? You can read on your own. Are we gone? All right, page 40. Page 40, top of the page, everybody there? Okay, it's your time to catch up, right? To summarize Revelation chapters 11 through 16, I like this. Revelation 11 closes with the announcement that the bowl judgments are about to be poured out. This point is now temporarily dropped to be picked up again in chapters 15 through 16. Chapters 11 through 14 are parenthetical to do two things. First, to add some details about the events of the Middle Tribulation, and second, to show why the bowl judgments are so necessary. In Revelation 12 through 13, then points out the events on earth necessitating the seven bowl judgments contained in the seventh trumpet, namely, the actions of the counterfeit Trinity. Revelation 14 shows how the program of the counterfeit Trinity will fail, and also announces some of the results of the bowl judgments. The bowl judgments are then described in Revelation 15 through 16. This is the topic of the next chapter, and I will break those out into bullet point, dash points, so it'll be easier for you to follow. This chapter has been primarily concerned with the mid-tribulational events. Now it is necessary to go on to the events of the second half of the tribulation. The ecclesiastical Babylon, Revelation 17, 1 through 6. The woman is sitting upon many waters, verse 1, which is interpreted in verse 15 to refer to the world population, the waters are. The fifth event that occurs throughout the first half of the tribulation is the rule of the ecclesiastical Babylon. It is with this woman that the kings of the earth commit fornication, showing this to be a unity of religion and state. Just as there will be two political systems during the tribulation, one during the first half, the ten kings, and one during the second half, the Antichrist, there will also be two religious systems, one for each half of the tribulation. This passage describes the religious system of the first half of the tribulation. In verses 1 through 2, John is invited to come and to view the judgment about to fall on the great harlot. To prostitute something is to take that which has a proper use and to turn it into an improper use. In verse 3, the harlot is seen to be sitting on the seven-headed and ten-horned beast. This means that this false religious system does have the support of civil government during the first half of the tribulation and is able to rule because of government support. The description identification of this woman is given in verses 4 through 5. The woman is seen as being very wealthy and influential, and her full name is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. What is found in these verses is the final form of religious apostasy ending in the one world super church. In verse 6, The woman is drunk with the blood of those who suffered martyrdom for Messiah. This answers the question as to who was killing and hurting the fifth seal saints that were under the altar. It was the false super church that was killing them. Now your focus will go on page 41 into more about this. And then we move down to three kings killed, seven submit. Revelation 17, 12 through 13. Once three of the kings are killed, the others submit to this authority. This is the beast that the woman is riding that had 10 heads. Three are killed. And the others say, okay, uncle, I will submit. And the attempt of the Antichrist to gain political control will be interrupted by his death. But after his resurrection, the Second World War of the Tribulation will continue until three of the 10 kings are killed. Revelation 17, 14 through 15 is war against the Lamb. They will unsuccessfully, in the end, make war against the Lamb. Then your focus, the bottom of 41, the top of 42, will give you more on that. Destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon, Revelation 17, 16 through 18. One of the Antichrist's first acts is gaining religious control. It will be the destruction of the first religious system of the tribulation, the ecclesiastical Babylon. Previously, this religious system had the support of the civil government for the first 3.5 years. With all civil authority turned over to the hands of the Antichrist, who is now in full control, civil government itself will destroy the domination of the ecclesiastical Babylon. The 10 horns of the beast are the 10 kings, but they eventually relinquish their power and authority to the Antichrist. The same point is made in verse 17. Another extensive passage dealing with the destruction of Babylon is Revelation 18, 1 through 24. This chapter of Revelation deals specifically with political and economic Babylon that will rule the world for 3.5 years. Now your focus is going to go through chapter 18 in great detail and the destruction of the political and religious Babylon. And you go through page 43 and through most of 44. See how fast we moved along? Yeah, just that right there. To summarize the study of the second stage of the campaign of Armageddon. Everybody there? Page 44? Okay. While the Antichrist will move his forces into the Valley of Jezreel, his enemies will take the opportunity to destroy the city of Babylon quickly and suddenly. According to Isaiah 13:3, they will be Gentile believers in the tribulation. Just prior to this, however, the Jews will be warned to flee out of Babylon. This they will do and make their way to Jerusalem to report to the Jews who are there. This sudden destruction of the world political and economic capital will cause great consternation on the earth, but not in heaven. For when Babylon's destruction comes, it will signal that the second coming will occur soon, and along with it, the regeneration and restoration of Israel. An extended passage on the second coming is in Revelation 19, 1 through 18. Prior to dealing with the former matter of the second coming, this chapter has a prelude composed of three elements in 19, 1 through 10. The first element in 19, 1 through 8 is the fourfold hallelujah. The second element of the prelude is an invitation to the marriage feast of the Lamb in 19, 9. The third element of the prelude comes in the declaration of the spirit of prophecy in 19, 10. With that prelude completed, the apostle then describes the second coming in 19, 11 through 16. And your focus will go through all four of the hallelujahs and the preludes of the second coming on page 45 and through almost half of page 46. Revelation 19, 17 through 19. Because of the massive slaughter of all the armies of the nation, another invitation is issued. This one invites the birds of the heavens to the great supper of God. The birds will eat the unburied carcasses of many who participated in the campaign of Armageddon. In this way, the birds will be filled and satisfied, according to verse 21. the Antichrist. Regarding this member of the counterfeit Trinity, Revelation 19:20 states, it is declared that the Antichrist will be cast alive in the lake of fire. In the previous chapter, passages were cited that the state that state that the Antichrist will be killed is one of the first casualties of the second coming. Therefore, this verse requires that the Antichrist be resurrected at this time and then be cast alive into the lake of fire. So you have your focus, more information on that. And we go to page 47, about halfway. Satan's fifth abode in Revelation 20, 1 through 3. As for Satan, the counterfeit father, he will be cast into his fifth abode, the abyss, not outer darkness. Then your focus will talk more about that. The resurrection of the tribulation saints, Revelation 24. Those saints who will be killed in the course of the great tribulation. Two groups here, the church to whom judgment is given and the tribulation saints. And your focus will deal more with this. Then we move to page 48, the first resurrection. The first resurrection involves the resurrection of believers only. It is recorded in Revelation 20, 5 through 6. According to verse 5, the resurrection of the tribulation saints completes the first resurrection. And it is from the completion of the second resurrection by 1,000 years. It is separated from the completion of the second resurrection by 1,000 years. The point of verse 6 is that the first resurrection involves believers only. That is why it is blessed and holy to be participant in the first resurrection. Then you have a focus on the marriage supper of the Lamb. The 1,000 years will expire, and you'll have a lot of information on the kingdom and that on page 49. How about, would you believe, page 50? Hey, how about most of page 51? See, you'll be up all night reading, I hope. Well, no, you want to concentrate. Now, at the bottom of page 51, we have the aftermath. During the time of the millennium, the most ideal conditions will exist on the earth, the best since the fall, but it will not be a perfect situation. Sin and death, though greatly reduced, will not be eliminated in the kingdom age. A great number of unregenerate men will be alive at the time of the close of the Messianic kingdom, all born during the last century of the millennium. It is after 1,000 years of ideal conditions and environment that the Messianic kingdom ends with one last test for mankind: the loosing of Satan and the final invasion of Israel. The millennium will end when Satan is released from his fifth abode. This event is described in Revelation 20, 7 through 10. When the full 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released out of his confinement in the abyss and will again do the work of deception among all the nations of the Gentiles in the earth. Verse 8. By this time, a great number of unbelievers will exist, all of whom will be under 100 years of age. But once these armies arrive at the mountain of Jehovah's house, the invading forces will be quickly dispensed with fire out of heaven, destroying them massively and suddenly in verse 9. At this point, the instigator of this revolt will be placed into his sixth and final abode, the lake of fire, verse 10. This will be both his final and eternal abode, a place of torment for all eternity. And then you're going to have a lot of focus on this whole subject matter up to page 53. In page 53, we have the great white throne judgment described in Revelation 20, 11 through 12. They will come after the end of the millennium and in preparation for the establishment of the eternal order. This prophecy begins with a vision of the one sitting on the great white throne in verse 11a. Although the throne sitter is not named, in all probability it is Jesus the Messiah, for it is to him that all judgment has been given, John 5:22. A passing away of the old order will occur at the time of the great white throne judgment. The present heavens and earth in existence since Genesis 1 will be done away with in 11b. that which was renovated for the millennium, but polluted all over again with man's last revolt, will now be done away with forever, the earth. This will leave all things ready for the judgment itself in verse 12. The judgment will be the judgment of all unbelievers of all time. The purpose of this judgment will not be determined whether or not a person is saved, for that has been settled forever one way or the other at death. The purpose of this judgment will be to determine the degree of judgment. And in your focus, we'll talk quite a bit about that as well, and about the great white throne, and about the books that are opened there, page 54. And then we get to page 55, And the second resurrection is described in Revelation 20:13. Following the description of the judgment, there's the account of the second resurrection. Whereas the first resurrection will be composed of believers only, the second resurrection will be composed of unbelievers only. The two resurrections will be separated by 1,000 years. Your focus then, more information and commentary on that. Then we have the second death, the lake of fire. Following the sentence of the great white throne judgment will come the execution of it according to Revelation 20, 14 through 15. The second resurrection will soon give way to the second death in the lake of fire, which will be the eternal abode of the lost. And then some interesting stuff in your focus there, quite a bit. Page 56 talks about Sheol, its compartments. Page 57, you have more the focus. And then we come to the eternal order, the eternal order. While the Messianic kingdom is the high point of Old Testament prophecy, the eternal order is the high point of New Testament prophecy. Whereas much of the information in the first 20 chapters of Revelation, of the book of Revelation, can also be found in the Old Testament, the last two chapters of Revelation contain brand new material not revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament. The millennium itself is only 1,000 years long. However, according to the promises of the Davidic covenant, there was to be an eternal dynasty, an eternal kingdom, an eternal throne. The eternal existence of the dynasty is assured because it culminates in an eternal person, Jesus the Messiah. All that is known about the eternal order is found in Revelation 21:1 through 22:5. The passing away of the old order and the creation of the eternal order, Revelation 21, 1 through 8. In preparation for the great white throne judgment, the old order of the heavens and the earth will be done away with. Then, following the great white throne judgment, there will be a creation of the eternal order as recorded in Revelation 21, 1 through 2. To replace the old order, new heavens and a new earth will be created, verse 1. Though the new heavens and the new earth will need to be created, the new Jerusalem will not, as it is already exists in the present third heaven. It will be adorned with the beauty of a bride prepared for the marriage ceremony, verse 2. Then your focus will concentrate more on what we just talked about. Now, at 58, towards the bottom, following the vision of the creation eternal order, the first declaration from the one on the throne is given in Revelation 21, 3 through 4. 2 points are made in this declaration. First, the habitation of God will now be with men. Second, he affirms that the curses of Genesis 3, 16 through 19 will be removed. And then your focus will give you lots more detail on that. Then on page 59. You have everybody there? Then the second declaration from the throne is given in Revelation 21, 5 through 8. The second declaration from the throne concerns the works of God. First, there is an affirmation that the future creation of the eternal order is assured because the one who makes the promise is both faithful and true. Second, there is the provision of the fountain of the waters of life. Third, the passage refers to the inheritance of the believers in verse 7, which is the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem being described in these closing chapters of the Revelation. Fourth, there is a description of the inheritance of the unbelievers, verse 8, which is the second death in the lake of fire. The eternal New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 through 22, 5. The next major section contains a description of the eternal New Jerusalem. Again, it should be noted that this is all that can be known from scriptures about what the eternal order is going to be like. The description of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 11 through 22, 5. There are 11 things that should be noted. First, the glory of the New Jerusalem is revealed in 21, 11. Second, a description of the city wall is given in 21, 12 through 13. Third, the foundations of the wall are described in 21, 14. Fourth, the measurements of the city are recorded in 21, 15 through 17. Fifth, the composition of the city is described in Revelation 21, 8 through 21. Sixth, in addition to the absence of oceans in the new earth, several other omissions, no temple, no sun, no moon, no night. Seventh, there's a description regarding the entrance into the city in Revelation 21, 25 through 27. Eighth, there's a description of the river of life in Revelation 22, 1 through 2a. Ninth, the tree of life is described in 22, 2b. Tenth, there's a description of the occupants of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22. 3 through 4. 11th, the presence of the Shekinah glory is reiterated in Revelation 22, 5. Then your focus, a lot more information in the focus, a lot more commentary. Page 60. Page 61. Page 62. And the top of page 63. Really interesting stuff. You guys will never complain again about me going too long. Conclusion. The conclusion of the book of the Revelation found in Revelation 22, 6 through 21 contains several important elements. The authentication of the book of Revelation in 22, 6 through 9. First, there's the authentication by God in 22, 6 through 7. Second, in Revelation 22, 8 through 9, the writing of John is authenticated by the very angel who gave John all the revelation in the first place. Declarations in light of the revelation, Revelation 22, 10 through 15. The first declaration concerns the book itself in 22, 10. The second declaration is directed at the righteous and the unrighteous in 22, 11. The third declaration gives the purpose of the return of the Messiah in 22:12. The fourth declaration emphasizes the eternalness of the person of the Messiah in 22:13. The fifth declaration concerns the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem in 22:14. The sixth and final declaration in 22:15, the first affirmation of Christ, 22:16. The invitation of the Holy Spirit and the church, in 22:17, the warnings, Revelation 22:18 through 19, the second affirmation of Christ in 22:20, the benediction in 22:21. Then you have focus. We're going to give you a lot more detail about all of those things that we just listed in 64, 65 pages, page numbers. Page 66, here we are.
Just like there's 66 books in the Bible.
You are a genius. The benediction, Revelation 22, 21. The book ends with the benediction found in Revelation 22, 21. The grace, I said I wasn't going to read, but I'm going to read this. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with the saints. Amen. Amen. Selah. Amen. Now, you have some charts, okay? Some charts there I've given you. You have events of the middle of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, the campaign of Armageddon, okay? So, do yourself big, huge favor and read all of the notes and Then if you have questions, email me or contact me or grab a hold of me. I'm usually here unless I'm sick or gone or something. But,